Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Seeker, your host for the program. Happy and blessed to be here with you today. Thanks for joining me. Well, on last week's program, we talked a lot about St. Joseph, fatherhood, and the family. Never has there been such an all-in-all-out attack on fatherhood and motherhood and the family unit as we see going on in our world today. It's surreal in many ways. But you know what? We were warned by previous popes and other prophets of the church about this demonic struggle that would be taking place, as well as what we should do about it. We're going to talk specifically today about some prescient words given by the Fatima seer, servant of God, Sister Lucia, that came from a letter she had written to the late Cardinal Carlo Caffara, the founding president of the Pontifical John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and the Family. The alarm has been sounding, calling Christian soldiers to the battlefield because the ramparts of marriage and family have been breached, and it is past time for all men of goodwill to summon their moral courage and fight to regain the sanctity of marriage and the family, the bedrock of society. But before we go any further, let's pray together. O God, Heavenly Father, it was part of your eternal decree that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, should form a holy family with Mary, his blessed mother, and his foster father, Saint Joseph. In Nazareth, home life was sanctified, and a perfect example was given to every Christian family. Grant, we beseech you, that all families may fully comprehend and faithfully imitate the virtues of the Holy Family, so that they may be united with them one day in their heavenly glory. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, through your intercession, grant the graces that all families need to be sanctified and spiritually perfected, living out their lives in imitation of the Holy Family, who imitated most perfectly the sacrificial and self-giving love of the Most Holy Trinity. May all married couples have a deep reverence and love for all life, and may they be ever generous in welcoming new souls into their lives. May all families become as little gardens where God dwells and walks among the perfumes and fragrances of their sacrifices and love for one another. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, to you we commend all families and married couples and beg you to bring about a great renewal in our society so that it may become a culture of life and love. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News. In what education officials are calling an attempt to enhance racial understanding and facilitate discussions on race, bigotry, and the experiences of diverse Americans, the California Department of Education has proposed an ethnic studies model curriculum that includes having students chant the name of an Aztec god that was once honored with human sacrifice. The draft curriculum includes lesson plans that have school children repeating rhythmic phrases that invoke various deities from Aztec mythology in order to promote transformation, liberation, and unity. The California program is one of many such recently developed diversity courses that is associated with critical race theory. The CDE is arguing that this ethnic study program would, quote, affirm the identities and contributions of marginalized groups, helping students to see themselves and each other as part of the narrative of the United States, close quote. Importantly, this course helps students see themselves as active agents in the inter-ethnic bridge-building process we call American Life, the CDE stated. The Archbishop of Santa Fe, New Mexico, is calling an assisted suicide bill that is before the state's legislature the worst in the nation. House Bill 47, which would legalize assisted suicide, would also make it a requirement that all patients in hospice care be offered the option of being prescribed a self-administering drug that would end their own life. Democratic Governor Michelle Grissom is expected to sign the bill if it passes. Grissom had previously given her signature just weeks ago to a radical abortion bill that allows for abortion up to the moment of birth for any reason. With these bills, I wonder, what have we become? New Mexico Archbishop John Wester asked. We must continue to work to promote just laws, but know that God's law transcends any human laws. God's law calls us all to recognize and protect the life and dignity of each and every human being, especially the most vulnerable, the Archbishop stated. It's worth noting that New Mexico has one of the highest Catholic populations in the country. And this past Monday, as secular institutions were celebrating International Women's Day, President Joe Biden was signing an executive order establishing a White House Gender Policy Council that would expand transgender rights. Gender discrimination affects people of all genders, a White House official stated during the announcement. There will be a focus on women and girls, but the choice of the name of the council is really intentional, the official added. During his presidential campaigning in 2020, Biden had tweeted, "Let's be clear, transgender equality is the civil rights issue of our time. There is no room for compromise." And finally, around 23 unborn children were murdered at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood this past Thursday. Deb Nakatola flew into Indiana to perform the life-ending procedures as sidewalk advocates and prayer partners stood out in the wind and rain to offer help and hope to the women as they went in. A majority of the women continue to come from Kentucky and southwestern Indiana. 40 Days for Life continues on until the evening of Palm Sunday, March 28th. A closing rally will be held on Saturday, March 27th at 6:30 p.m. right there at 421 South College Avenue, featuring former abortion provider Dr. Haywood Robinson. And that's your Weekly in the News. There's a memorable scene in Peter Jackson's adaptation of Catholic author J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, when the Hobbit, Pippin, and the White Wizard Gandalf are standing together at the parapet of Minas Tirith, talking and looking out at the approaching storm of evil that will soon be upon them. All is completely dark, and soft rumblings of thunder can be heard in the background. Out into the distance can be seen the fiery Mount Doom, a volcano in Mordor, which is the realm and base of the evil Sauron. The little hobbit Pippin has just been made a guard of the citadel, and he examines his sword and uniform. As he picks it up, he asks Gandalf, "So, I imagine this is just a ceremonial position, right? I mean, they don't expect me to do any fighting, do they?" Gandalf responds, "You're in the service of the steward now, and you'll have to do as you're told," Peregrin took. Looking unsettled and lost, Pippin sets down his sword, takes a few steps forward, and looks up to the unlit sky. "There's no more stars," he says. "Is it time now?" With gravity, Gandalf answers, "Yes." The weight and the meaning of that yes sinks slowly into Pippin's being, and then he says, "It's so quiet." "It's the deep breath before the plunge," Gandalf answers. "I don't want to be in a battle," Pippin declares, "but waiting on the edge of one that I can't escape is even worse." "Is there any hope, Gandalf?" Pippin asks. "There never was much hope, just a fool's hope," Gandalf replies. Then, somberly gazing toward Mordor, Gandalf adds, "Our enemy is ready. His full strengths are gathered. It's begun. The greatest battle of our times." Well, that dramatic scene from the third part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy remains one of our family's favorites. And I confess, I think about it a lot lately and how it so aptly applies to our times as we prepare for and enter into what could rightly be called the decisive battle of our times. In some early 1980s correspondence with the late Cardinal Carlo Caffara, the Fatima seer servant of God, Sister Lucia, wrote, "A time will come when the decisive battle between the kingdom of Christ and Satan will be over marriage and the family." Sister Lucia's prophetic words are being fulfilled in our day. We've seen the storm clouds gathering out in the distance for years now, with spiritual tremors and the occasional expulsion of gases and hot lava from our own Mount Doom, indicating that a major eruption is about to ensue. Is it time? Well, I think we too can answer yes. Chances are we feel like Pippin and we don't really want to be in a battle. But as baptized Catholics, we are in the service of the King, who has already gone before us and prepared the way. Sister Lucia told Cardinal Caffara, "Don't be afraid. Those who work for the good of the family will experience persecution and tribulation, But remember that Our Lady has already crushed Satan's head. Cardinal Caffaro was the founding president of the Pontifical John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and the Family. In 1981, Pope John Paul II founded the Institute because of the growing threat against marriage and the family. The pontiff even placed the Institute under the patronage and protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Fatima. By 1983 and 84, Cardinal Caffaro was coming up against much resistance, both within and outside of the Church, because of its dedication to remain solidly in the traditions of marriage and family life. So he was inspired to write Sister Lucia, who was at a Carmelite monastery, to simply ask for the nuns' prayers so that difficult situations could be resolved and the Institute could move forward with its vital work. Sister Lucia responded to Cardinal Caffaro with a lengthy handwritten letter, of which some of her words you just heard. Cardinal Caffaro said that he reflected upon Sister Lucia's letter for years later, and he began to see how her words were being fulfilled. And based on that letter, the late Cardinal even developed a thesis about how Satan was in the process of constructing an anti-creation, one that makes a pure mockery of marriage and family, the earthly icon of the Holy Trinity. Caffaro went on to deliver an incredible talk specifically on this subject at a forum on life and family in Rome back in May of 2017. At that conference, Caffaro said that the two main tools that the devil was using to erect this anti-creation were abortion and the attempt to equate homosexual relationships with marriage. Caffaro said that by peddling these two things, Satan was in effect provoking Almighty God, saying to him, "I will fashion another creation, and man and woman will say, we like this one better." Returning to Tolkien's Lord of the Rings for a moment will provide us with another vivid image, this time as it applies to Cardinal Caffaro's theory. There's a race of creatures in Tolkien's story called orcs, who are the foot soldiers of the evil Sauron. They're pitiful-looking, disfigured creatures who commit great evil, driven on by the will of their master. In Tolkien's story, the orcs were created by the first Dark Lord, Morgoth, and they served him and his successor, Sauron, in their quest to dominate Middle-earth. The orcs represent corruption and spiritual downfall because they were originally beautiful and pure elves who were captured and then perverted by Morgoth, having fallen under his dark spells. In Tolkien's literary work, they're a representation of what happens to souls who fall under the deceit and lies of Satan. They become hideous because they are no longer living as they were created to by God, but instead are living fashioned under the hand of Satan. And that's what sin does to us. It disfigures not only our souls, but very often even our physical appearance. All we have to do is to look around to see this effect, the product of an anti-creation. This anti-creation started with contraception and the attempt to take a woman's healthy and properly functioning reproductive system and render it sterile, making it to quit doing what it was designed by Almighty God to do. Next came abortion, since contraception often fails. No, it's not a human life. It's not a baby, they try to tell us. Anti-creation. Since science is completely denied here, it opens up the gate for other more ludicrous practices and ideas, like gay marriage and gender identity. It's what you perceive yourself to be and what you want to be. Biology doesn't matter. It's discriminatory and inhibiting. We like this new way better. Anti-creation. Jesus tells us in John's Gospel that Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies, our Savior says in John chapter 8, verse 44. Just as Jesus is truth himself, Satan is lie himself. And Satan seeks to overturn truth, or Jesus, in the heart of every man, supplanting it with lie, or Satan himself. Cardinal Caffaro called abortion the profoundest negation of the truth of man. At that May 2017 Rome Forum, the late Cardinal said, "As soon as Noah left the floodwaters, God said, 'Whoever sheds the blood of a man, by a man shall that person's blood be shed, for in his own image God made man.'" The reason why man should not shed the blood of man is that man is the image of God. Through man, God dwells in his creation. This creation is the temple of the Lord because man inhabits it. To violate the intangibility of the human person is a sacrilegious act against the sanctity of God. It is the satanic attempt to generate an anti-creation. Cardinal Caffaro went on to say, "By ennobling the killing of humans, Satan has laid the foundation for his creation, to remove from creation the image of God and to obscure God's presence therein." St. Ambrose writes, "The creation of the world was completed with formation of the masterpiece, which is man, which is in fact the culmination of creation, the supreme beauty of every created being." Cardinal Caffaro went on, "At the moment at which the right of man to order the life and death of another man is affirmed, God is expelled from his creation because his original presence is denied and his original dwelling place within creation, the human person, is desecrated." Cardinal Caffaro explains so convincingly why, as horrible as abortion is on a natural level, it's even more shocking and horrendous on a spiritual level, and we should never forget this. Cardinal Caffaro also viewed the exaltation of homosexuality as the second major development for shaping Satan's anti-creation. He said, "The union between a man and a woman who become one flesh is human cooperation in the creative act of God. Every human person is created by God and begotten by his or her parents. God celebrates the liturgy of his creative act in the holy temple of conjugal love." In summary, he said, there are two pillars of creation: the human person in its irreducibility to the material universe, and the conjugal union between a man and a woman, the place in which God creates new human persons in his image and likeness. Going on, he said, "The axiological elevation of abortion to a subjective right is the demolition of the first pillar. The ennoblement of a homosexual relationship, when equated to marriage, is the destruction of the second pillar. At the root of this is the work of Satan, who wants to build an actual anti-creation. This is the ultimate and terrible challenge which Satan is hurling at God. I am demonstrating to you that I am capable of constructing an alternative to your creation. And man will say it is better in the alternative creation than in God's creation. This is the frightful strategy of the lie, constructed around a profound contempt for man. Man is not capable of elevating himself to the splendor of the truth. He is not able to find himself in the sincere gift of himself," Cardinal Caffaro said. Sadly, there was a recent incident where we saw these words of Cardinal Caffaro playing out to the letter. It occurred in the U.S. House of Representatives during a debate over the Equality Act on Thursday, February 25th, when a U.S. congressman publicly rejected God's creation and will. Now, here are the details in case you didn't hear about it. As the insane Equality Act was being discussed, Florida Representative Greg Stube, looking like he had had enough of the lies, lunacy, and the delusions, said, "When men or women claim to be able to choose their own sexual identity, they are making a statement that God did not know what he was doing when he created them. The gender confusion that exists in our culture today is a clear rejection of God's good design. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences," the congressman said. "We are seeing the consequences of rejecting God here in our country today." I'm going to repeat that line again, Stube said. "Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences. And I think we are seeing the consequences of rejecting God in our country today." Well, Democratic U.S. House of Representative Jerry Nadler would have none of it and quickly retaliated. Mr. Stubbe, what any religious tradition ascribes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. Mr. Nadler, by the way, hails from New York, where back in January of 2019, it legalized the killing of the unborn up until the moment of birth for any reason, and then celebrated that decision by lighting up in pink the spire on the One World Trade Center. Nadler and all those supporting the Equality Act prefer the alternative creation, the anti-creation, over God's creation. The whole scene that day in Congress just drove home the truth of the words that Cardinal Caffaro spoke about at that life forum in Rome in May of 2017. By the way, Cardinal Caffaro passed away unexpectedly only 4 months after that conference in September of 2017. His pastoral and academic work in support of marriage and the family is sorely missed. But thanks be to God for the insightful words he gave to us right before he died. And remember, those words had been inspired by his correspondence with the Fatima seer, Sister Lucia. Now, fortunately, Cardinal Caffaro didn't just formulate this thesis about what was wrong with the world and then leave it at its condemnation. No, he also tried to answer the all-important question, how does a Christian dwell in this situation? What do you do? Caffaro said the answer is very simple. Within the confrontation between creation and anti-creation, we are called upon to testify. This testimony is our mode of being in the world, he said. Listen to his edifying words. Testimony means to say, to speak, to announce openly and publicly. Someone who does not testify in this way is like a soldier who flees at the decisive moment in a battle. We are no longer witnesses, but deserters, if we do not speak openly and publicly, he said. Testimony means to say, to announce openly and publicly the divine revelation, which involves the original evidence, discoverable only by reason rightfully used, and to speak in particular of the gospel of life and marriage. Testimony means to say, to announce openly and publicly, the gospel of life and marriage as if in a trial, the good cardinal said. And then he went on to explain that last statement. He said, I have spoken frequently of a confrontation. This confrontation is increasingly assuming the appearance of a trial, of a legal proceeding, in which the defendant is Jesus and his gospel. As in every legal proceeding, there are also witnesses in favor of Jesus and his gospel. The announcement of the gospel of marriage and of life today takes place in a context of hostility, of challenge, of unbelief, he said. As a result of this antagonistic environment that we find ourselves in, Caffaro said that it becomes easy for Christians to either remain silent or go along with the lies and anti-creation, which of course we must never do. But he also warned, when we do speak the truth, we must be careful not to appear unsympathetic or belligerent. Love must drive our zeal to proclaim the truth, love of truth itself and love of neighbor. Cardinal Caffaro also pointed out that we must be absolutely careful to avoid irenics, that is, seeking peace at all costs. How terrible would a doctor be if he developed an irenical attitude towards disease? The same must hold for diseases of the soul. Caffaro used St. Augustine's line, love the sinner, but persecute the sin. We need to hunt down the sin, track it down in the hidden places of its lies, and bring it to light, the cardinal said. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8 say, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. You and I must insert our own names in the place of John's and answer the clarion call ringing out to all the faithful in this decisive hour. Our Lord has promised to send the Spirit of Truth to help us testify on his behalf. On the second Sunday of Lent, just a couple of weeks ago, we heard in the gospel reading the account of the transfiguration. With his usual impetuous zeal, we heard Peter cry out, "It is good for us to be here." Peter was riding on a spiritual high after having seen the Lord in his glorified state, and he wanted to remain there. Let us build three tents here, was his proposal. We all tend to be like that, preferring those spiritual consolations and encouragement and desiring to see the good fruits of our labors and prayers. But, as did Peter, we have to learn that following Jesus often means coming down from Tabor, taking up the cross, and following our Lord to Mount Calvary. All the disfigurement that's been produced in our world can only regain its original supernatural beauty by way of the cross, by way of suffering. In that epic battle described in Revelation chapter 12 between the woman and the dragon, we read how the dragon was enraged by the woman and went off to wage war against her offspring. Those who keep God's commandments and hold fast to their testimony of Jesus Christ. They triumphed over the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. That's verse 11 from Revelation chapter 12. What an important text for us to meditate upon in these times. We are called to testify, to affirm truth, to bear witness to it, even unto death. When the great Pope St. John Paul II visited the United States in 1976, he himself made what many Catholics have called a prophetic statement. He said, "We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has gone through. I do not think that wide circles of American society or wide circles of the Christian community realize this fully. We are now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, of the gospel versus the anti-gospel. We must be prepared to undergo great trials in the not-too-distant future, trials that will require us to be ready to give up even our lives and make a total gift of self to Christ and for Christ. Through your prayers and mine, it is possible to alleviate this tribulation, but it is no longer possible to avert it. How many times has the renewal of the church been brought about in blood? It will not be different this time." Well, one of the most important ways that we can give testimony to the gospel of life, marriage, and family is to be there on the public sidewalk at 421 South College Avenue in front of the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, especially throughout this Lenten 40 Days for Life campaign, or on Thursdays, which are abortion days. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love. We may often feel like the little hobbit Pippin, observing the great darkness all around us and thinking that our baptismal garment is merely ceremonial dressing. We're not really expected to fight, are we? Well, yes, we are. It's the battle for our own soul and that of many others. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, reads the inspired word of God, Deuteronomy chapter 20. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, "Hear, O Israel, you who are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you." Through our adherence to the commandments and the testimony that we bear to the gospel of life, may we be deserving one day to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few small things. Come and share your master's joy." Thanks so much for joining me. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with a desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.